And Sterling Allen with us this hour. And, of course, your phone calls as we talk about energy sources. A fascinating subject. We'll be back with Sterling in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast, Sterling Allen with us. We'll take your calls. A lot of skeptics out there, Sterling, simply say, for example, the Hutchinson effect is not real, doesn't work. They're out there. They post it on the websites. What are they trying to do, destroy him?
Well, first of all, any technology, any breakthrough has its detractors. And John Hutchinson is a character and a half. He dresses up in women's clothes and does his little shtick with that. And he actually has even produced bogus videos with trickery involved. And he's a character. He's a hoot. But he does have real technology. I've talked to several people who visited him in person and have seen his stuff firsthand. And so, you know, we've got the validation that he's the real deal, and he does have real stuff. And he kind of puts on that Joker persona.
Yeah, he does.
To throw people off scent.
He does. And, you know, he's pretty close to Tesla technology, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely, yeah. He's a stone's throw away.
Now, the skeptics, though, who say he's not real, what's their motivation?
There's a big gamut on that, because everything from the men in black who are, posting disinformation to try and throw people away from something that they don't want them to get on.
And that happens.
People sincerely being skeptical. You know, they've got they've been burned before. They see these hoax videos on YouTube, and they think everything's a hoax. It takes a special breed to get involved in this stuff. You have to have a thick skin.
Well, you really do. And let's take some calls here. Lots of folks interested in you. East of the Rockies, Wes is in Detroit, Michigan. Hey, Wes, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, George, thank you for my call. I was going to ask your guest if he knows anything about helium-3. I know it's an element that's rare on Earth, but it's found in abundance on the moon.
Yeah.
It's a fuel for fusion, and if he thinks maybe that's why the Chinese are so intent on getting to the moon, you know.
What do you think of that, Sterling? Thank you, Wes.
Well, yeah, there's something to that, but in my opinion, that's moot. When these technologies come out, they're going to make pretty much everything obsolete because they're so far advanced in price point and in power density. Making a trip to the moon to mine and retrieve helium-3 would be silly when you've got an ocean of water that can provide cheap fuel for pennies on the dollar. And really quick, just a correction. David Puckett was talking to me during the break. He's not really turning water as fuel. What he's doing is he's got an algae process where he can make the algae produce petrol super cheaply and abundantly, and he's got a lot of videos and whatnot. He's quite a character himself, somewhat like Hutchinson. He did a lot of swearing and whatnot in his videos, but some good content. He has some pretty interesting validations of his stuff as well.
Well, I've heard a lot about algae and its ability to do this. Matter of fact, during that BP oil spill, didn't they want to use algae to kind of eat up the oil?
Yeah, that was one of the solutions that was put out there. And all they wanted to do is just cover it up, so they put the Corexit on it to make it sink.
Yeah, and what a disaster it's done for the environment ever since.
And Hutchinson was actually involved in helping clean that up. He went down there basically of his own volition, and
he did.
Yeah.
Let's go to Jeff in Kansas City, east of the Rockies. Jeffrey, welcome to the program. You are on the air with us. Nope, he's not there. All right, let's go to George in Apollo, Pennsylvania.
Yes, Alan, I wanted to ask a question on SDI and one about Dennis Lee. And the Dennis Lee was basically like free on refrigeration situation where closed loop was able to extract the energy from the freon into the various forms of spinning magnets and that, even running an engine. But I understand they put him in jail. Did that ever resolve itself? And is any work going on that extraction?
One of the people that I've met here at the conference today actually went and saw that Hummingbird generator that Dennis Lee produced in operation. He wouldn't show it operating when he did his demonstrations for some reason, but he showed it to this guy two or three times. And the guy that was talking to me is an inventor himself with quite a few things up his sleeve, but he's been around and visited a lot of these technologies. I found that interesting. The guy that got me started in all of this, Welton Myers, 12 years ago, was also witness to the Dennis Lee technology and a lot of the auxiliary technologies that he was involved in. There was a lot of good stuff there, but Dennis Lee was very eccentric in how he marketed his stuff, and I think his own worst enemy case in this industry is interpersonal conflicts becomes the biggest obstacle.
Yeah, we're losing you a little bit, Sterling, on the phone. You still there?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, we heard a couple little blips there, so okay. Make sure that they aren't trying to get you off the air. You never know with that. If you had your way, would you do away with all gasoline?
Well, it's going to take a transition time, and that's why something like what David Pucht is doing is so valuable, because it produces gasoline from a clean and renewable energy source, algae, affordably, so the price of the fuel would go down, but it wouldn't require everyone getting a new engine, you know, converting a gasoline to an electric motor, for example. And so it is going to take us some time to transition away from the existing infrastructure to a new infrastructure, and that will take maybe a decade to resolve itself in full. But, you know, meanwhile, we're going to be able to improve the efficiency of our technologies. You can put a hydroxy system on a regular gasoline or diesel engine and improve your mileage by 10% and get a return on investment in, you know, 6 to 18 months, depending on how much driving you do.
Next up, we go to Charles in Baltimore, Maryland. Charles, it's your turn on Coast to Coast. Go ahead.
And thank you very much for letting me be on the air. I appreciate it. Okay, all the stuff you're talking about, it all sounds good, but this isn't the first time we've heard of things that were supposed to happen. And really, honestly, the big oil companies, whether it be the big oil companies or the pharmaceutical companies, medically speaking, you know, they want to keep us slaves forever. And inch by inch, they got us, because gas is going up. And it doesn't have to be this expensive. It really doesn't. But it all started out with Nixon in, 73. I remember the oil embargo. That was just a first step and holding us hostage. And they got us right where they wanted.
Well, now, that was Carter. The oil embargo
Carter.
Was
Sorry,
Carter.
Sorry, my fault.
That's when we had 24% interest rates and everything else. What a mess. Gosh, can you imagine that, 24% interest rates? But, no, you're right. I mean, it could be much lower. Gasoline at the pump, which here in Los Angeles is well over $4, $4.50, $4.60 for premium. It's a little less in St. Louis, but... Sterling, they could keep it lower if they wanted to, couldn't they?
Oh, absolutely. It's all a big scam. The people who are running the show right now are basically mobsters, and it's about corruption and seeing what they can get away with, I mean, and how much tyranny they can put hoist on us. They're addicted to power, and they need more to get their fix. And they're getting very and becoming very apparent. You know, we're not going to take any more of this. And when it gets to a critical mass, then things will shift in our direction, and free energy will be one of the things we'll step forward and save the day, so to speak.
We have first-time caller in Houston, Texas. Abdul, welcome to the program. Abdul, go ahead.
Oh, wow. First time caller in the Coast to Coast Radio, long time listener. Great guest as always. You guys are just pulling out of the woodwork of every human being out here just doing fascinating things with their life in order to be a contributor to Coast to Coast. Mr. Sterling, you know, I wanted to say to you, you know, I remember first reading about the Sterling engines and zero point energy and cold fusion. And I've always been very, very excited and passionate about new dimensions of energy. I'm the oldest of 11 children. I've got my mother has 9 boys. I'm the oldest child, and I'm trying to find a way to wake up in the morning before the sun rises and have 9 men go out and exercise the God-given talent and energy that we all have within us to pay my mother's mortgage today with 9 businesses, cash businesses in the city of Houston, and just really trying to find out that we're looking for technology that's energetic to sustain us. And I feel like it's in my mother's children that she had these youth in order that we can buy my mother some land and have businesses and just thrive in America as opposed to survive. So that's where the energy aspect of it is that we want to have a greater life. I remember reading and watching the website with the brother with resource-based energy, the Venus Project, and was very intrigued by that.
Jump in really quick.
Yeah.
You're there in the Houston area. You need to look up Don Bell.
Don, D-E-L?
B-E-L, like Bell, ring a bell.
I will. Don Bell.
And he's involved in some really interesting lighting technology, a complex fluorescent bulb that doesn't require a ballast, and so you can have like a 1-watt input producing like 75-watt equivalent. And he's looking for help in rolling that thing out. He's already got product that he's selling from a brick-and-mortar store. Go check him out, see if you can help him get that not only there locally, but roll it out nationally and internationally.
How's he find him, Sterling?
You can contact him through me if you can't find him just looking in the local. I think he's in Dallas, actually.
Well, that's not that far. If you're in Texas, you're in Texas. Of course, Texas is a pretty big state, isn't it? What's your website, the main one?
FreeEnergyNews.com is the easiest to remember.
Okay, very good. Let's go to Pete in North Carolina, east of the Rockies. Peter, take it away.
Thank you very much, sir. I have a story of a carburetor a guy developed in Wake Forest, North Carolina, about 40 years ago. And Ford Motor showed up, a couple of suits. They took everything I had, put him in a dealership, and the carburetor disappeared. And one other thing. Yeah, I've heard this was a firsthand story. I'd heard second and third hand. My dad raced a car for him for one time and wrecked it and never was invited back. This is stock car bootleg country, down this way. One other one. There was a book published some time ago about General Motors. They built about 250 cars. They were electric. You could charge them overnight, drive them 250 miles a day.
It was a Zolt, wasn't it? The GM Zolt.
That's right. Yep. And they used nothing off the shelf except door handles and radios. They built titanium seats. They spent millions of dollars, and then they crushed every one of them.
I didn't know they crushed them.
Yeah, everyone. What happened to the electric car is an excellent documentary film about that, that tells that story. And, again, it comes back to we've got to stop letting these people get away with this and rise up in a peaceful revolution against this and support these emerging technologies.
Yeah, it was the Volt car, V-O-L-T. And I didn't know they crushed them, Sterling, did you?
Yeah, they show that in the documentary film. They show them actually smashing these cars, these perfectly good cars, crushed.
Keith is in Rochester, New York. Hi, Keith. Take it away.
Yes, very simply, have you ever heard of a Joseph Newman from Loosedale, Mississippi in 1983 was on the CBS Evening News with Dan Rather. He had motors set up, about 20 to 30 of them, and it was kind of a perpetual motion gig where he was claiming to get more energy out than he was putting in. Joseph Newman.
Have you heard of him,
Sterling? Joseph Newman is a pillar or a legend, and we actually have a guy up in the Philadelphia area who has replicated that and actually licensed the technology from Joseph Newman, and we've got some people on the ground helping him kind of get some traction. He himself has come up with some 100 different inventions and replications of other people's work as well. And so there's been, I know a guy in Manti, Utah, just next town down from me who replicated Newman's motor as well.
at least certain aspects of it, some over-unity aspects. When you talk about, I don't like the word perpetual motion because it implies something for nothing or ex nihilo energy. I believe energy comes from one form to another, and the wheel work of nature has all kinds of plugs. There's 25 conventional free energy genres, solar, wind, geothermal, tide, waste to energy, biomass, etc. And there's 25 unconventional plugs. There's zero-point energy, cold fusion, magnet motors, gravity motors, electromagnetic over-unity, the Kumogens, etc. So there's a lot of plugs that the wheel work of nature provides us for free.
Who would you say, Sterling, is truly at the forefront of this alternative energy craze? Musk or somebody else?
Number one in our top five at top5energy.com, forwards to our Pez Wiki page, top5energy.com, is Blacklight Power. And they got in that position. They've been in the runners-up and you know, lower in the top five for quite some time, but they recently did a public demonstration, their third public demonstration, on the 21st of this month, where they showed their process that basically takes water and runs a high-intense arc across it and produces a super bright as the sun, which they then use on solar panels to turn into electricity. So that we're talking a 1 megawatt device could be 1 cubic foot in size. You know, the size of a small microwave oven could be 1 megawatt. And it would be cheap. So this technology is in number one position right now. They in an interview I did with him yesterday, or a couple of days ago, he talked about how when they did that demonstration, they had in the audience a company that has the ability to take this thing and go into manufacturing with all the connections that needed, and they're talking within 18 weeks they could have their production prototype ready to start into production.
Is venture capital money, you mentioned one earlier, but is it readily chasing these projects?
Funding is the number one issue in these technologies because people with money typically don't play in the fringe. They don't want their reputation sullied by, you know, being associated with crackpot science, so to speak.
They won't do it quietly through, you know, shell companies and things like that?
Well, there's some things, you know, there's some ways that they can do that, but typically they just don't play. They don't come to the table. They don't want to be associated with the dialogue. And so these stories, these success stories that we're telling you, we were not telling these stories 5-10 years ago. This is new developments of people with this level of stature. Now there's enough evidence that these things are for real that they're finally coming out, you know, stepping forward and play, you know, batting and not just running away from the game.
All right, we're going to come back and take final phone calls with you, Sterling, and just a moment on Coast to Coast AM as we talk about new energy systems. Okay, final segment with Sterling Allen. We're going to take your calls, the rest of them, in just a moment. Welcome back, Sterling Allen with us. Sterling, isn't there a company in Brazil doing a lot of very special high-tech energy programs?
Yeah, there's several in Brazil, but there's one you're probably thinking of is in northern Brazil called Evolution Energy. And they have what's called a captor, which appears to harvest the Earth's magnetic field in some manner, which could be a little bit problematic because it's not a uniform thing across the planet. So some places might be stronger, some places weaker. But we're going to be doing a story on them in about a week. I haven't been given permission to announce that yet. It's actually a bit of a downplay of the technology so that they're not making such a big cannonball splash when they first come out.
Okay. Is it going to be pretty big?
Relatively speaking, yes, but compared to what they have, no.
No?
Meaning what they're coming out with is a major downplay of what they're capable of doing.
Why are they coming out with it then?
Because it's an improvement, a way of getting some funding and traction and reputation and muscle strength. So when they flex their muscles, you know, everyone pays attention.
Yeah, They should splash big, don't you think?
That's my tendency is want to do the big cannonball splash, but you know, their money interests and whatnot are probably advising them in that direction, and probably obliged to go with that.
Andrea in Surfside, California is next. Hello there.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, well, great show tonight. I want to learn more about Tesla's idea to send energy from his Wardenclyffe Shoreham Long Island station in the 1900s. And also, I know a bit about the water to gasoline thing that you mentioned, One Step Beyond.
Oh, yeah, that was a great show, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was. From what I understand, the gentleman really didn't disappear. He just went back to his ship because it was during the First World War and he had to get back to go off the war. And it really worked. And there's more to it, but you have to really dig to find out what went on. But I think it was a Tesla car before a Tesla car, like a Pierce Arrow that ran. And I'll listen off the air. Thank you. Good show.
All right, you got it. The Tesla tower that he was working on, whatever happened to that, Sterling? Was it dismantled? What happened?
Yeah, it was dismantled and scrapped. But, you know, there's a group actually that, number one, has bought that facility and is turning it into a museum. And Elon Musk actually just donated $1 million to that project.
Is it true that the government raided Tesla's room and took all his papers and files?
Yeah, when he died, they did that. There's a group in Russia that's actually replicating the Wardenclyffe Tower, and there's another group down in Brazil, separate from the one I was mentioning earlier, that is in process of also replicating some of the Tesla Tower effects on a smaller scale than what he was doing at Wardenclyffe. So there's a lot of investigators around the world who are, I mean, Tesla did so many things. We had like 700 patents, half of them were in health. And so he left a very large footprint to try and, you know, pants to fill, so to speak, when he left.
Edison did not like him, did he? Too much of a rival.
Yeah. And one of the presentations today was actually talking about how Tesla was downplaying the work of Einstein and some of the... In talking about ether being the solution and where a lot of these things are coming from.
I think we lost you there, Sterling. You still there?
Yeah.
Okay. Now you got some problems on that phone line, I'll tell you. David, truck driving in Tennessee. Welcome to the show. Hi, David.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I've been waiting for Sterling to come around for a while. Thanks for having him on, George.
Well, you are very welcome.
I have a question. It might be a little technical, but my question is because some of the concepts Sterling presents here is they actually work. My question is, what effect, if any, would an EMP or solar flare have on a permanent magnetic bearing? Or would anyone know what effect that might have?
Well, that's one of the advantages of a permanent magnet motor is that it would be impervious to that kind of effect. And a lot of these free energy devices could be made EMP proof or resilient, much more so than the grid. And so the redundancy and the backup capability we would have with these would make the solar flare or other EMP sources almost a non-issue.
Chuck in Jacksonville, Oregon. Welcome to the program. Hi, Chuck. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Good evening.
Hi.
A few years ago, the government's Lawrence Livermore Laboratory came up with a method of combining zinc and air to produce electricity. At the same time, the Chinese government announced that they were trying to develop that to have an electric car because the exhaust is nothing. It eliminates their pollution problem. All right, and I'll sit over here in the United States, but they got the rights from the government, the Lawrence Livermore Laboratory, to produce an auxiliary to use the process. All right, and on that, we heard nothing since. That's years ago. You know of anything about that?
That particular thing is not ringing a bell. And it's a little bit outside of the realm of what we would typically cover, because when you talk about Lawrenceville National Laboratories, you're talking pretty mainstream. And we have a saying on our homepage that if a college professor says it's impossible, that's when we start getting interested.
India has what is called a Tata Motors, where it works with air compression. Have you heard much more about that?
You know, air compression is a really promising technology. Vernon Roth, who was our first actually pre-conference speaker this morning, my friend, he talked about air-compressed motor and that technology as something that can be made very efficient. He showed a system that was weighed 200 pounds that could power a motorcycle with a range of like 500 miles.
Wow. That's amazing. And how much would air compression cost, Sterling? Pennies.
Yeah.
Let's go to John in Ventura, California on the wild card line. Hey, John, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much. Fantastic program tonight, gentlemen.
Thank you.
My questions would be how to plug into this Tesla conference. I need to know more info. And then what is the best action that those that have money, investors, can take, and for those that need the money?
Well, that's a good question, both of them. First of all, you're not online where people can watch the conference, Sterling, are you?
No, it's not being broadcast live, and they do have DVDs made available immediately after the presentation, so that minutes afterwards you can buy a DVD, or you can order packages or specific conferences from the teslatech.info website. And boy, if you're involved in any of the sectors that we're talking about, with like what we're talking about with Vernon Roth, you've got to get that DVD. It was excellent. And I'm going to be doing an interview with him. He gave me permission where he's going to be telling all about how to build one of these things. So you can, power your vehicle with water, basically.
That would be amazing.
Stuff.
He's going to give it away by just telling people?
Yep.
That's quite a person. Quite a person indeed. Now, his other question was, what about people who might want to invest or people who need the money? Is there are you folks the central clearing point for that?
We do play that role, and there are some others who do a good job of that as well. And if you ask that question, the universe will present you with answers of who to talk to, and you'll get phone calls, you'll be lined up with people. The biggest thing that I could say is we have a Rolodex that's very long of very deserving technologies. And if you're somebody who's willing to play in this sector, please call up and we can give you a range of things to choose from. There's a big smorgasbord at this buffet. I promise you, you won't walk away empty or hungry.
Let's go out to Hawaii. Franklin is there on the gorgeous island of Maui. Hello, Franklin.
Hi, George. I know that you've been to Hope, Maui, and you also go to another island, but we're getting a lot of charging stations for cars, for the electric cars here.
Are you?
And we've got one 1995 Ford electric pickup truck that was made by Ford. Ford doesn't know about it, but it's on the island.
Ford doesn't know about it. But it works.
No, because
won't it be nice when you can put that charging station in your trunk and never have to plug in externally?
Is that a reality?
Yeah, that's the kind of stuff we're talking about.
Okay, what else do you have there, Frank?
We have a hydrogen-powered truck. The gentleman's a college professor, and I've seen it operate. I think the police told him to disconnect it, but it runs on hydrogen.
That's pretty dramatic all by itself. Does the engine itself make it, produce it, or?
No, he has a tremendous amount of batteries in the back that he created to create the hydrogen, and then he pumps it into the carburetor of the truck.
All right, thanks, Franklin. Great ideas. I mean, Sterling, where are we in the United States as compared to other countries? We mentioned Brazil. I mean, are we like in the ball game here? Are we way behind? Where are we?
Well, government-wise, we have one of the most oppressive or unfriendly governments in the world when it comes to this stuff. Our media treats this like junk. They ignore it, and
they don't even respond to emails or phone calls. In Europe, it's much more friendly. Other countries are much more friendly to this kind of stuff, but still somewhat resistant. But I really think it comes down to the people stepping up to the plate and demanding it and, you know, rising to the occasion, so to speak. And when enough of us deserve it, so to speak, when we talked about that earlier, then I think things will shift. But it really comes down to us as a people and stop waiting for somebody else to hand it to us on a silver platter. You know, the American Revolution was won by what, 6% at the height of the war were involved?
And they had guts.
Yep.
Hank is in Macon, Georgia. Hey, Hank, thank you for calling. Go ahead. You're on the air with us.
I'm in agreement with the guy before. These are some of the best shows you have, these pure science shows, George.
Okay.
I love them.
Thank you, sir.
Other than when I talked to Pat Boone, I got a question for Sterling. A few months ago, I was in Florida, and I hauled gasoline. How ironic. I'm hauling gasoline now, as a matter of fact. I pull up to a place, and there's the most beautiful automobile I think I'd ever seen, and it was a Tesla. And this guy was hooked up. He was out of juice. He was hooked up in front of a little ratty liquor store with his $80,000 automobile. But when he left, I got to thinking, a nice guy, he let me look it over. I got to thinking when he left, I said, now he's got four flywheels that are doing nothing. I know he can't be perpetual, but why are tires and wheels on automobiles? A train just went by. There's 90 cars with two axles. They're all consuming energy, but they're making none. Maybe that is being used, but I've never heard of it. Now, why do they not use that what's basically a flywheel to run a generator or an alternator?
Constantly. Good idea. What do you think, Sterling?
Yeah, in that particular example, that's what the scientists would call a perpetual motion machine, where you're lifting yourself up by your own bootstrap. There has to be an input of energy from somewhere to get you moving down the road, to get the flywheels turning in the first place. And then that's what regenerative braking is on electric vehicles. When you slow down to stop, you're turning that braking power into electricity to then start up again. You don't have that ability in a gasoline vehicle, so it's all wasted energy. The heat that goes into the brake is gone. And so that's why electric vehicles can get better savings, is because they're when you're slowing down, or even, you're not wasting that.
Bob is in St. Louis. Hey, Bob, how's the weather out there?
Oh, it's beautiful. Sorry, I'm echoing. That's absolutely wonderful.
All right, can I get you on a better phone or a system before?
Well, I'm on a cell phone is the only bad thing.
Okay, I'll just go with a quick question. Go ahead.
Hey, do you know if Tesla's going to come out with a fleet version of their automobiles? Do you think they might?
A fleet version? What do you mean by fleet version?
Stripped down, basic, just, almost like a Model T.
Okay. I'm not sure. Again, Sterling, what's the basic car priced at? It's pretty expensive.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the sedan is at, 30,000 or something like that. It's not too bad.
I think it's more than that.
Yeah, I'm not. Again, I deal in the exotic sector, and Tesla, the Tesla Roadster, and they're pretty mainstream now. So I used to, our page at PezWiki used to come up at the top of the search engine in Google for the Tesla motor company, but now we're like number 10. It's something I've not really kept up as much, because we're focusing on things that are a little further outside the box.
I think I may test drive one of those. I'd love to do a report on those.
You need to get one.
I'm not going to get one. Not yet. You got to wait. The prices come down. It's like, it's like the video machines. You wait. They come down. Betty's in Waterloo, Iowa. First time caller. Hi, Betty. Go ahead.
Okay. Hi. I just wanted to say that some people who aren't up all night listening to this radio program, they're watching TV. You have to advertise, and I mean mega advertise, something like water turning into hydrogen. I mean, these big electrical companies are taking away all of our money, and the people that pay the bills, there's TVs everywhere you go, in every house, in every room. I mean, and these people really have to, these companies really have to put it out there what could be the future, you know, what could save us money. Because otherwise, how else are they going to know? And I think just make advertising about what's available in the future, just to make people aware so they can stand up to the big companies and to the politicians that are wasting our TV time.
Well, fortunately, we hit the airwaves with stories like this, Betty, so people can learn and they can know. And we give people like Sterling Allen a platform to get the word out. Sterling, that's, I think, one of the most important things we can do.
Yeah. I would really encourage your listeners to watch that video that we have featured in our news today about this car that runs on salt water, supposedly.
That I think actually, that's great.
Yeah, you got to watch that. That is such a nice video. You just love it.
You just fill it up, and whatever's in there turns into fuel, huh? You with me, Sterling? He died right at the end. I knew it. I could tell it all night. You could tell by the hissing on the phone. Well, I apologize for that. Sterling Allen is gone, but he was going to be gone in 30 seconds anyway, so what the heck? But if you want more information on what they do, simply go to their website, sterlingallen.com, of course, and the rest of the websites are linked up at coasttocoastam.com as well. Now, when I come back in a moment, we're going to talk about your sleep, but not the way you think. For example, living out your dreams is not very wise to do. So stick around. Keep your dial right where it is on Coast to Coast AM, and we'll be right back.